In today's episode of Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures, we go back to the 70s for a song that makes Bill feel pure joy.
We talk about how you should never run under a tree in a rainstorm, even if it is with the one that you love.
But what you do need to do in the rain when you're with the one that you love is laugh. We hope you enjoy our walk through Neil Sedaka's Laughter in the Rain.
Speaking of laughter in the rain, Bill, I really like laughing almost anywhere that I go.
And you know what's great? If you go into my school's auditorium at Sir Winston Churchill in St. Catharines, Ontario, on 101 Glen Morris Drive, you don't get rain all over you when it's raining outside.
Why would we be going into your school located at 101 Glen Morris Drive, Bill?
Well, on Thursday, April 25th and Friday, April 26th at 7 p.m., they're performing the very funny comedy play, Apostrophes.
Apostrophes? That sounds like something millionaires would go to.
Well, you know what? At $10, even people like you, me, and all our beloved listeners can go to.
That sounds like a great time and a great deal.
Well, head on over Thursday and maybe even Friday too and enjoy the play. And you know what I love about our podcast, Frank, is that we can naturally include an advertisement for a school community play and have it seamlessly fit into our regular podcast.
It's almost like we recorded this at the Winchester at the time of the podcast and not in your living room several weeks later.
That's right. No one will ever know.
It'll be our secret.
Picture this, Frank. You have an artist who's on top of the world, has defeated his foe, has reached its pinnacle, and just starts releasing hits nonstop. In the same way, say, Rocky was winning lots of matches at the beginning of Rocky III. And suddenly, the British invasion hits, kind of like Clubber Lang coming in, hitting Rocky really hard. Down he goes round two. Neil Sedaka, same deal. Out for a long time. And then out of nowhere, Apollo Creed comes, or in this case, Elton John, brings Sedaka back, gets him back in training, bang, Laughter in the Rain, knocks out Clubber Lang, round three.
So I have a couple of questions about this example here.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is Neil Sedaka fighting that he had vanquished all of his foes early on?
Oh, America.
Okay, so he was fighting against America?
Yeah, right. Okay. Oh, no, that now makes him Dolph Lundgren. Okay, yeah. Let's put it this way. Perhaps the listening fickle public.
Okay, so he knocked them all out.
Yeah. Okay, let me try one more time, okay? So Neil Sedaka, young kid from New Jersey, driven over to California by his mom to try to make things new, is having a good time at school, meets a pretty girl, releasing lots of great singles, and then... follow me.
This is just Karate Kid.
No, and the Beatles come by, and they throw him off his bike and down a hill, and then beat him up at the beach. He meets Mr. Elton John Miyagi. He trains him. And then at the big karate tournament in around 1975, Daniel's able to lift up those legs.
You mean
the
Neil?
Neil. Yes, exactly. Neil does that and hits a good old Laughter in the Rain right in Johnny's face. Yes, we're coming out of the movie month. It's still
there's still some hangover here, isn't there, Bill?
I wouldn't call it a hangover. I'd call it an afterglow. Today we're doing Laughter in the Rain by Neil Sedaka, a song that brings me total joy.
Yeah, big comeback number one hit for Neil Sedaka, which would have been, 12 years since his last number one, something like that?
I think so, and it's 1975.
Yeah.
1975 is the year of Neil Sedaka.
Obviously, he's coming back. He had hits in the early 60s with kind of a more doo-wop-y kind of sound.
Yeah, yeah. He had a bit of a teen heartthrob thing going on too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he comes back with songs that are entirely toothless.
Well, toothless, huh? Like, maybe like is a whale toothless? I always think of them as toothless. Do whale have teeth? Maybe killer whales do. But what I'm meaning to say, it's not like he's toothless in that he's not. a massive force. He's just not out there to bite your leg off like Jaws was. Also released in 1975.
Yeah, Jaws isn't a whale. Jaws is a shark.
So he's not a shark. He's a whale.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. By Toothless, I mean, it's
beautiful.
Easy listening song that is not going to offend anyone anywhere.
Okay, let's go with this word. By toothless, I believe you mean smooth.
Okay, we'll say that. Yes.
Yeah. This is one smooth song.
Yeah.
When you listen to this song, Frank, does it bring you back to any early memories? I have a sense that your family was not a Neil Sedaka family.
No, I don't believe so. My dad was more into the Guess Who, the Beatles, the Beach Boys. But yeah, Neil Sedaka, I don't ever recall seeing an LP or an 8-track tape or anything like that by Neil Sedaka.
I have a sense that my family was Neil Sedaka people. And I know for sure my Oma would have been playing this on like Joy 96.
Yeah.
Or someone might have made a mix CD for her in the mid-80s. And this would have been played all the time. And I would love it because it reminds you of the time, by you, I guess I just mean me, of the time, to quote the Dave Matthews Band, when you're kind of under the table and dreaming, that you're just around. Adults are talking about whatever is going on in their lives, but you as a kid are playing with your cars, you're just all over the house in your imaginary world, but this song is playing in the background.
The song has this ability to just kind of swirl around you and envelop you.
Embrace you.
Yeah. It's not anything subversive or deep or anything like that. It is, let's be honest, it's a pretty shallow song, but it has that ability to just kind of hold you tight a bit.
Yeah.
Although I did mention to you before you came over to record, I had it looped and playing over and over again just so I can immerse myself in the song a little bit more. And after about 12 times through, I was like, no, I can't do this anymore. This is just too much. I don't care how much they're laughing in the rain right now.
And that's the difference between you and me. Now, I know the rest of my family has asked me to turn it off, but I could be looping through that again and again. I'll probably listen to it on the way home tonight, even though we'll be done the episode.
Yeah.
I love it. So let's talk Neil Sedaka, Frank. Begins all the way back when he was born. I suppose that would be the beginning of his life.
He was born at a very young age. So there's that.
By the age of 13, he was already entering into his songwriting like relationship with like the 16-year-old guy. So he was writing music and the other guy's writing lyrics from what I gather. And I believe it's the guy he wrote music with pretty much up until the early 70s. So do you have that in front of you there, his songwriter from back then?
Howard Howie Greenfield.
They met when Sedaka's 13 and Greenfield is 16. And they end up working at the Brill Building together, writing a whole bunch of songs.
Yes, yep.
And it leads to Sedaka writing songs that he sings. And so a bunch of them become significant hits. One goes to number one, at least one. And I believe that's Breaking Up Is Hard to Do.
Yeah, he had something like 11 top 40 hits.
Yeah.
Between 1960 and 1963.
That's right. And so the ones that I remember most would be, of course, Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. And Calendar Girl.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah.
So these are songs I know I would have heard on oldies rock stations.
You mean you love, you love, you love, you love Calendar Girl?
I do, Frank. Nicely done. He also wrote a song called Oh Carol for his girlfriend from high school, his ex-girlfriend by then.
Yeah.
Carol King.
That's bonkers that they were involved like at a young age and everything.
Yeah. Their careers kind of followed each other. I mean, Carol King is hugely, hugely successful.
Yeah.
And by the early 70s, she transitioned into singer-songwriter material with Tapestry.
Yeah. So they kind of followed a similar career arc in the sense that, you know, they had success early on. There was a bit of a dry spell and then they came back in the early to mid 70s.
That's right. And so Neil had tried to do the same thing as Carole King was doing, but the American record companies were not interested.
Yeah.
Even though he released an album, I think called Solitaire or something.
Yeah.
That is quite well regarded now. No one wanted to touch it. So he ended up being popular in Europe. So early on, he would release things in like Japan, Italy, and Canada.
You know, only one of those is actually in Europe.
I know. Okay. I know. I that's why I threw the Canada. I'm like, I might as well just go right out there. And I expect to be told off within a few days by a couple people.
Yeah.
So Italy. That's why it's in my head is Italy. Italy loved him. So okay. He recorded a bunch of songs in Italian as well, just because he knew they were going to be big. So all these different places in Europe, like the UK and France. France liked them too.
Yeah, that's Europe. Okay.
I'm just going to start naming countries there. Estonia.
Yeah, that's your okay. Good job. Your geography is really getting
better. It's really improving. Huh? Yeah. So he decided he would try to hit up those markets because Elvis Presley was never going to tour there. And so like his competition, he would be able to go to these places because Colonel Tom Parker, would be arrested wherever he went.
Yeah, because he couldn't leave the States, right?
Yeah, something like that. I haven't watched the Tom Hanks movie. Then I'm going to know for sure by then.
Yeah, well, it's pretty historically accurate, I believe.
Okay.
If Baz Luhrmann does anything right, it's historical accuracy.
Yeah, exactly. England loves him. He's able to go to England because he ends up just leaving the States.
But it's funny because he fell out of popularity because of the British invasion.
That's
right. But now he himself is invading Britain.
Because they'd sent all their troops out to the States.
Yeah.
The troops
being the Beatles and the Who and the Rolling Stones, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And so they couldn't protect themselves. Yeah. Sadaka was coming in.
With his gentle wave of unoffensive music.
That's right. He found some great musicians to play with him.
Yes.
Do you know the band that was his backup band for those early 70s albums? Do you have the names of some of them? Not on this song, but earlier. You see, Frank, I've been going crazy in my research on here, so.
Okay, why don't you tell me? Because I'm never going to find them in time.
Okay. 10cc.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did read that.
Yeah. So before they were 10cc, they're playing with Neil Sedaka.
Cool. Okay.
And so he's getting some minor hits in the UK, or actually some major hits. He's doing very well. America's still not interested.
Yeah. He doesn't have an American distribution deal.
That's right. And I think he's also at the end of his sort of relationship with Greenfield.
Yeah.
And they would always write together, I guess, and it could become acrimonious at times, but not in that sort of Simon and Garfunkel way. I know Garfunkel never really wrote with Simon, but they got along enough, but I think it was like a mutual ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so in their last session, they wrote, I think fittingly, one was called Our Last Song Together, but they wrote one other song together, Love Will Keep Us Together, the Captain and Tennille song.
Oh, okay. I feel that there are big similarities between this song, Laughter in the Rain, and Love Will Keep Us Together.
Oh, yeah. And there are. Oh, there are. So Neil Sedaka's co-written both. Now, he didn't co-write with Greenfield on this song. He entered into a new songwriting relationship with
Phil Cody.
Phil Cody, I think, who comes out of Philadelphia. And he flew over.
Well, that makes sense because his proper name is Philadelphia Cody.
Because of the Rocky link.
Yes.
Right? So before we go on here, Frank, I just realized we have two different versions of the story. So I was looking at the Billboard Book of Number Ones.
Okay.
And it talks about how the song was written in London. However, in an interview, you have the interview in Song Facts with Phil Cody.
Yeah, he said that Neil had a house up in Forestburg, New York, which is in the Catskills. I imagine they were at some sort of like Dirty Dancing, like summer camp.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And he was supposed to go up there and write a bunch of songs with him in Woodshed, as he called it.
Yeah, I got to look up that term.
Yeah, I don't understand that term. But if Philadelphia Cody is using that term, then, you know, I'm assuming it's something legit and real.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, he has this girlfriend, so he doesn't want to go up there because he's going to be missing his best girl. So he's kind of hostile to the whole situation, just kind of coming in, I guess. Like, he's like, all right, let's just hustle through this. We'll write out songs. And kind of like I was when you showed up. It's like, can we just get this episode over and done with, please? I'm tired.
Right. And here we are 4 hours later.
Yeah.
Just started.
I know, right?
I think the New York story is the true one. Just jumping in there, Frank. I think that's the one I'm going to go with you because it's so well fleshed out. And we have Neil at the piano, and he is the music guy. So he's got an idea of the sounds that he wants. I'm never quite sure how lyric writing works for songwriting partnerships, because some lyricists bring the actual melody in, and then the other person writes the music around it.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who have the sounds, but they have absolutely no words to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that Sedaka said what he started with when he wrote the song was, ooh, na, 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 na.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll get to the beginning later, but I'm starting with the, ooh,
yeah,
which is what I did. All dinner today, I was at my parents-in-law, and I kept asking Ashley if she was going to sing Laughter in the Rain when she does her troubadour review thing.
Yeah,
she does the Jacob Moon where they go around, they sing James Taylor, Carole King. I'm like, the guy dated Carole King. And then I just would stop midway through and go, ooh, I feel laughter. I feel like I was getting funnier the more I did it.
Was it appreciated?
It was, actually, which is like, either I'm wearing them down or they actually really like the song or me. All right, so we have Phil Cody hearing the beautiful sounds of this song. And he's got, in his words...
He's got nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So he goes for a walk,
yeah,
interestingly, but it's not raining.
From what I understand, it's quite sunny out.
Yeah.
So he takes a walk, smokes a joint, and then falls asleep under a tree.
Right by a golf course, which is pretty dangerous because he could get pounded with a golf ball.
Yeah.
And sees on the green or on the fairway a deer.
Yeah. That's right. He saw some frolicking deer or something like that, right? Yeah.
I'm just curious what type of pot he was smoking, but either way.
Yeah.
He wakes up and he has the song.
Yeah. Comes back to the house or the woodshed or wherever it is that they're writing this thing. And 5 minutes later, Laughter in the Rain is done.
And it is, I know you call it shallow, but we could also call it pop music.
Yeah.
It is perfectly suited to what this song is all about.
Yeah, the lyrics really fit the melody and fit the music around it.
I'm going to read for you now a quotation by Neil Sedaka. Songs operate on three basic levels, the emotional, the psychological, and the spiritual. And as a songwriter, it's your chance to get close to your audience. I've always been very personal about how I write. I write very much with my heart on my sleeve. And I think it's that emotional tone which people identify with. I feel we get that in this song.
So do you think that Neil Sedaka hit all three of the prongs in his three-pronged attack to songwriting with this song?
Oh my goodness, yes. For me anyways, I got the emotional, there's some psychological, and of course, you know, the rain is a very spiritual image, I think, or at least laughter is.
Sure, let's go with that.
We'll see if we can work that out as we do a song analysis. Now, Frank, I have some musical terms for you.
Obviously, you looked them up because we don't know musical terms here, do we?
No, we don't.
Perfect.
But he kept saying the following. The ooh, that part, he lifted from another singer's song.
Okay.
And it was Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. He loves Elton John. There's like a mutual respect between them. So he gave this story while he was giving a free concert during the pandemic.
Okay.
So he would do these free concerts, I think every week or every month on his website or on Facebook, actually. And so he was doing it well into lockdown, like for 2 years. By the time everyone else had given up and just got depressed, he kept doing a concert every month or whatever.
Yeah.
And then one of them, he opened with this, and then he talked through all the parts, how he wrote the song. And so he talked about how the ooh is so perfect in the Elton John song, because in Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, how's it go? It goes, ooh, ah. Do you remember that? I'm going to play it for you right now.
Okay. You know what? We completely glossed over this.
Yeah.
And we mentioned how Neil Sedaka didn't have American distribution of his album, but he reconnected with Elton John in 75.
At a party.
At a party, yeah. And Elton John was like, well, what do you mean you don't have distribution in America? Here, why don't you sign with my fledgling label called Rocket Records?
Yep.
And I'll put it out in the States for you.
And Elton John wrote like the liner notes for the album.
That's right. Out. Yeah.
Neil's back. One of the worst cover pictures. He's got a cigar and that big red hat. And he looks like maybe Fredo in Godfather 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or maybe one of the other guys who's going to get choked out with a piano wire. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not quite Luca Brasi, but he doesn't look like a main player.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you who's at this party just because you brought it up. Neil might not be popular in the States, but let me tell you who comes to his London apartment building. And Neil's not like a wild and crazy guy. He loves music.
Well, that's Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd.
That's right. He just loves music. He's a family man. He's been married to the same woman for, I think, 60 some odd years. Like, it's...
Okay.
And their kids are there, whatever. So at the apartment, though, here are the people. You have the Carpenters, Rod Stewart, Paul McCartney, those guys from 10cc, and Elton John and his manager. That's a pretty good party.
That'd be a good time.
So Elton John hangs out right to the end, and that's where they have this conversation.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and cool. I guess Elton John loved Neil Sedaka's stuff, so he was he was amazed that he even was able to get this deal.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Here we go. So Neil referred to the ooh as the drop-dead chord.
Okay.
That's his term for it, that ooh is the drop-dead chord. And he was asked in this interview, what is the drop-dead chord? And he said, well, listening to music and having a background in classical music, I always felt there should be something unexpected, something emotional that would pick your ears up and go down your spine. And for, ooh, I hear laughter in the rain. I was in the key of F, and I did a B-flat minor 7 chord into A-flat. So the chorus of laughter is in the key of A-flat, but the verse was in F. And then I went to a B-flat minor 7 chord for, and then he sings, ooh, and that got me into the key of A-flat for the chorus. It made the difference. And so he said when he wrote the verses, which he wrote after, starting with the chorus, he said he only played the black keys, and he said it was the pentatonic scale.
I've heard that term before.
I know when I was learning piano that when you play the black keys, they're either sharps or flats, but they give you a certain sound.
Yeah, like music.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's, well,
that's how music works, Bill.
Well, if you heard me play piano, you might not call it music. So anyways, when we get to the song, there's moments where I get a sense that it's shifting to something more major than minor, if the black keys are minor. And I know someone out there wants to tell me what this is, but you're not here.
Ashley?
Why don't we work our way through the song since we're kind of there already, Frank?
Like, I know that I've heard the song, obviously, before we decided that we're going to cover it for the podcast here. But I always thought it was a woman who sang this song. I thought it was Carole King.
Well, funny you say it, because I think I'm sure I thought it as well. I didn't know it was... Like, I was like, Neil said, this is... Oh, okay. This is a man. And apparently one of the members of the Fifth Dimension said to him, I love that song, Laughter in the Rain. Who's the woman singing on it? And Neil Sedaka's like, that's me. My whole career is built on this voice. That's me.
Yeah.
Hearing him speak is fantastic because he has such a recognizable accent. I feel like I'm hearing a voice that I've seen in so many different movies where maybe there's like a... It's like a Brooklyn Yiddish accent type of thing. I don't know how to quite get there, but I've heard this before.
It's almost stereotypical.
It is, and he's fantastic. And he's so kind, and he tears up when talking about the writing of this song.
Okay.
He's such
cool.
A good guy.
Yeah.
I'm just rooting for him. And so our friend, who we've yet to meet, Tom Brihan, wrote about this in Stereo Gum, gave this 2 out of 10, and was very ungenerous in how he spoke about the song.
Yeah, he was not a fan.
Well, you know who was a fan?
You?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, favorite song, Laughter in the Rain. Know who else was a fan? David Foster. He should be. He played on it.
David Foster played on this?
David Foster plays on this.
Oh, I did not see that. But it wasn't Michael Jackson's favorite song as Michael Jackson's favorite song by Neil Sedaka.
Yeah, okay. But there are lots of people who love this song.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain Michael Jackson's favorite song was actually Freak on a Leash by Korn.
But either way, people love Neil Sedaka.
Yeah.
And Elton John loves Neil Sedaka. And I love Neil Sedaka. And you will too, Frank.
It's not that I don't like him. It's just there's only so much I could take of this song at this afternoon.
Right. I think tomorrow you need to go for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just like a marathon. You got to build towards it.
I just need to immerse myself in this song.
Exactly. Personnel. Before we just jump into this, can you give me the personnel you see on the Wikipedia you got there?
So obviously, Neil Sedaka.
What did he play piano?
He played piano and lead vocals, in case you were wondering.
Okay.
Danny Korchmer. And Danny Korchmer, and I hope that I'm getting the name correct. He played with James Taylor quite often.
Yes.
And he played the electric guitar. Dean Parks played the acoustic guitar.
We've heard of him before, too.
Yeah. Leland Sklar played the bass.
My man. That guy plays with Phil Collins and with James Taylor, and he's the guy with that big
beard. Oh, yeah. Okay. Russ Kunkel, again, I hope that I'm getting this correct, played the drums. The aptly named Jim Horn played the saxophone.
And he also played saxophone on Got My Mind Set on You.
Oh, that's where we talked about him.
Yeah.
That's right. William Smitty Smith played the Hammond organ and backing vocals. And then your backup singers were Abigail Hannis, Brenda Gordon, and Brian Russell.
There's some familiar names in there too.
Yeah.
But David Foster is there, at least according to Billboard Book of Number One.
Okay.
So he's there, young David Foster.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He might be fetching coffee or something.
Exactly.
Planning the demise of Chicago. All right. I know I have a tendency, Frank, to inundate you with information. And sometimes that's might be a sign of my own feelings of inadequacy. So trying to like compete with you in your natural flow.
Yes.
Okay. But I have more for you. Neil Sedaka was also a session piano player in the 60s, and he played on Bobby Darin's Dream Lover.
Oh, really?
So there's just some interesting information. He's always around. With songwriting and publishing, he's making good money no matter what. And so this is kind of like, well, in Rocky III, Rocky III still had money. I'm going to refer to him as Rocky III.
Yeah.
He still had money, but he didn't have the honor he felt he needed.
Gotcha.
By getting back in the ring.
Yeah.
And this is where Neil Sedaka is.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the opening notes of this song, Frank. It's Neil Sedaka playing those keys.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, there was this orchestral part. Do they have listed there?
Yes. Sorry, I forgot to mention that the orchestral arrangement was done by Artie Butler.
Artie Butler did the orchestral...
Arrangement?
Arrangement, that's the word. For What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong.
Oh, really?
So you want to talk about major players.
Oh, this absolutely,
guy.
Yeah.
And this guy did touring with Neil Sedaka from 75 to 80 as well. So when this song goes to number one, Neil Sedaka calls up Artie Butler and says, thank you so much. Your composing made such a huge difference. And so he called him on New Year's Eve just to thank him.
Oh, really?
And
oh,
said,
cool.
And so Neil Sedaka said he was dancing with his wife to the music, which I love the idea that Neil Sedaka dances to his own music, songs. Yeah. So, and then he called just to say thank you. But this is the type of guy he is. Yeah. And he was so grateful for it.
But it's kind of crazy to think that in 1975, Neil Sedaka has kind of fallen out of favor with the public. He doesn't have the big songs out there. He's past his prime, if you will.
Right.
But he's still getting all these major players in terms of the musicians that are playing on his music with him and getting those amazing sounds from these musicians as well.
And it's not unlike... say Roy Orbison in the 80s saying, hey, I want to do an album. Suddenly everyone comes out of the woodshed.
Well, yeah. Even Philadelphia Cody.
That's right. All right, let's go to those lyrics, Frank. I'm ready to go real deep into this.
Yeah, okay.
Strolling.
Can you go deep in these lyrics?
Well, I was trying to write out the rhyming pattern because I'm kind of fascinated about what Phil Cody's doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Strolling along country roads with my baby, it starts to rain, it begins to pour. Without an umbrella, we're soaked to the skin. I feel a shiver run up my spine. I feel the warmth of her hand in mine.
Strolling along country roads with my baby. It starts to rain, it begins to pour. Without an umbrella, we're soaked to the skin. I feel a shiver run up my spine. I feel the
It's a really odd verse structure.
Yeah.
Because the rhyming scheme goes like this. A, B, C, D, D. So there's like a rhyming couplet, if you will, at the end. But the first three aren't rhyming at all.
No.
So I'm not used to this. I'm not used to going in fives either. And then having the last thing just... the last two rhyme together, but the first three don't. It's really jarring.
Yeah.
Until you hear the song.
And the song is one of those just say what you see kind of songs. It's a narrative or just basically a script of what's happening.
Right. You got the sort of word picture, right?
Yeah.
And it's like maybe the Red Wheelbarrow poem by William Carlos Williams, where it's the red wheelbarrow glistening beside the white chickens, laughing in the rain. I know. I'm sorry.
I'm going to agree with you because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. But the picture is there for you. And so when you hear the song at the end there, it makes more sense because when he sings, I feel the warmth of her hand in mine.
Yeah.
It's like he's moving out of pentatonics and into the light of pure love.
Yeah. And when you read the lyrics, and like I said, it's just a script or a narrative.
Yeah.
Can there be metaphor in this?
Well, I mean, I guess...
Because I'm looking at it right now and thinking it's like, no, it's just, it's surface. There's not anything to it. You're starting to get that kind of feel. It's like, I feel a shiver run up my spine. Is it coming from the rain or is it because he's holding the hand of his best girl?
Well, there you go, right? And so you have two things going on because right before there, you're like, well, there's no umbrella, so he's soaked.
Yeah.
And then there's the shiver. Which, of course, means someone's just walking over his grave in the future. We know that.
Yeah.
That's common to everybody.
Well, that's science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he'd say, oh, he feels a shiver run up his spine from the cold, but then I feel the warmth of her hand in
exactly.
mine.
Exactly. You're holding the hands, but then you get that sort of like, ooh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, is that the shiver or is the shiver from the rain?
And if the shiver is from the rain, it's the warmth of her hand that counteracts any rotten feelings you have in the rain, which leads, of course, to that chorus, which is saying, no matter what, as long as you're with your best one,
yeah,
life is good. All right, chorus time, Frank. And we're gonna go straight to the drop dead chord. I love this term. Ooh, I hear laughter in the rain, walking hand in hand with the one I love. Ooh, how I love the rainy days and the happy way I feel inside. If you don't like this, you need to go seek help. You need to talk to somebody. Life is good, and it's here in the song.
It's a very simple song, but it does speak very simple but powerful truth.
Oh, man. And it doesn't even rhyme.
Yeah.
that's
your big hang up on this song,
well,
isn't it?
Well, the thing is, I'm always expecting rhymes, but when I hear the song, it's just gorgeous. But if I was a lyricist, I'd be wondering how to write something without rhymes, but that's why I'm not a lyricist, because they understand how music works.
Yeah.
You throw they call it a backbeat to it, say what you mean. I'm quoting John Lennon now, and then you get your songs out there. I don't know what a backbeat is, but I feel a beat should be at the front and the back.
Yeah, and probably in the middle as well somewhere.
I think so. If I was a producer, I wouldn't want to just put it somewhere in the back.
Yeah, no.
Not a lot of analysis, but, well, I mean, here we can talk about it. He's hearing laughter in the rain, right? So that's their laughter, I'm assuming.
Yeah, unless, I think so, yeah.
Unless the guy who is smoking weed under the tree
is just pointing and laughing at them.
Yeah, stuck in the rain.
Look at you, dummy, stuck in the rain. It's like, so are you, Philadelphia Cody.
Yeah. Oh, how I love the rainy days and the happy way I feel inside. Rainy days are supposed to be the things that bring you down, along with Mondays.
Yeah.
But not...
Stop stepping on my mixtape.
Oh, there we go. Nice. So not for Neil Sedaka, though. Not at all. All right. I think we just covered the chorus.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to verse 2 here. After a while, we run under a tree. After a while, I turn to her and she kisses me. There with the beat of the rain on the leaves, there with the beat, softly she breathes and I close my eyes, sharing our love under stormy skies.
After a while we run under a tree, I turn to her and she kisses me. There with the beat of the rain on the leaves, softly she breathes.
Rhyming scheme on this one goes a little bit differently as well, right? Yeah. It's AABCC.
Right.
But what I like about this is the backing singers come up with this like syrupy sort of repeat.
Oh, yeah.
So oh, run I under the it. Tree. Under the tree. And
oh, yeah.
It just echoes that syrupy sentiment.
Oh, yeah. And this is what that sort of early love is. And Phil Cote, of course, is probably thinking about his new girlfriend, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, there's issues here. If I'm going to talk about an issue with this song, it's like when kids hear this, they need to know something. Let me just read the first line of verse 2. After a while, we run under a tree. Last line, sharing our love under stormy skies. What is the one thing your parents told you not to do during a storm?
Not to hold up an aluminum pole.
Yeah, well, that's one, but you were just doing experiments. But you're also not supposed to run under a tree. These trees get struck by lightning.
Yeah, but they also protect you from the rain.
Until they kill you. Huh. Am I the only one who was told not to go under a tree during a storm?
My parents were pretty lackadaisical raising me. Just, you just do whatever you want. Just if you get hurt, don't complain to me.
Okay. Well, we'll go back to this. They run under a tree. I turn to her and she kisses me. So it's that's what happened.
Yeah.
There with the beat of the rain on the leaves, softly she breathes and I close my eyes. That's a pretty great image.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is sharing their love under stormy skies. And that's what's happening.
That was actually the line that I was thinking of when I said, like, can you have metaphor in this song? Are they literally sharing their love under stormy skies, or are they sharing their love in tumultuous times?
Both are true.
Yeah.
Be right. So the stormy skies does point to the future that they will be able to withstand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's lots going on here, Frank. That's the spiritual part.
That must be, yeah. Not just the rain you were talking about.
No. No rain. Am I still stepping on your mixtape there?
No.
Okay.
No.
I love the phrasing of the last line where he says, sharing our love, right? He just kind of brings you to the chorus. It's like a bridge in itself where it's like, oh, yeah, we're moving to something wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're going to drop you dead with this chord.
Because they're under the tree that got struck by lightning. Yeah. That's the drop dead chord. That's the drop dead weather event.
That's right. And at the funeral, they're going to talk about how their love kept them together.
Yeah.
So we go back to that beautiful chorus. I'm not going to repeat it because it's the same thing. But after the chorus, we get Jim Horn giving one of the great smooth 70s sax solos.
Yeah. It's like 20 seconds long or something like that.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's so comforting to hear. And then Sadaka says, once again, I feel the warmth of her hand in mine. Now, initially, he wanted to say it twice. This is in the song facts, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
And then what did Phil Cote say? That he listened to him. And then Phil Cote said it felt like it gave him, what was the term? Legitimacy as a songwriter?
Yeah, because he was just some punk kid and Sadaka actually listened to him.
Yeah. And he ended up saying,
probably just high from the marijuana too.
That's right. So apparently Phil Cote at a tribute to Neil Sedaka a few years ago talked about how it was the best experience for him as a writer just to work with him.
Okay, cool.
Anyways, from there, we get to the repeated choruses a few times with the backing vocals, the sax giving us those grace notes.
Yeah.
I think they're grace notes. Feels like grace to me. Feels like heaven. I feel we've kind of covered the song there. How are you feeling about our analysis?
Like I said, there's not a whole lot to talk about in terms of deeper meaning behind the lyrics.
But when you hear it, you feel it.
Yeah. And the song sort of moves along in that just that comfortable sort of, again, walking with your best girl hand in hand, rain or not. You're just kind of meandering at a comfortable pace with someone that you love.
I could live with that.
Yeah.
I love this song. I've had such a good day of listening to this music.
Listening to it and singing it to your in-laws.
Yeah. And so that leads to category number one. Would you sing this at karaoke? Yes, I would. I couldn't do the voice. I know I couldn't do it, but I think I would give it a try.
I think if I tried this at karaoke, it would have to be in falsetto, which really doesn't do it justice.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely doing falsetto. The hope is that everyone sings along. I fear that a lot of people might not know this song.
Yeah.
Even though it was number one and it was big in the 70s, and there's a lot of songs like this that went to number one, which
yeah.
points to the fact that I think I kind of belong in that era because that's my type of music.
And oh, now exactly,
we got,
right?
We got number ones where I'm like, I don't even know what this is. Is this music? I don't know, even know what to do with this.
We barely even touched on the point that, yes, the song went to number one, and I'm honestly surprised that it did. It doesn't sound like it would be like a big Billboard number one song, but yeah, went to number one for a week in 75.
Yep.
And you have the top 10 list. There are the top five list. What else was it up against?
Okay, here are the top fives. Besides, you know, number one is Neil Sedaka. Number two is Fire by the Ohio Players. I do not know that. And I don't think that went to number one.
I don't think so either.
Boogie On, Reggae Woman, Stevie Wonder. I know that one.
I vaguely recall that one.
When you hear it, you'll know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're No Good, Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, nice.
And that was a number one hit before, or might have been after. And then Pick Up the Pieces, Average White Band, which also went to number one, but I don't remember that song either. So this is a whole area of the 70s, from like 74 to 77 or 8,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of them I don't know, outside of the Bee Gees.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Well, my belief is that the 70s was just nothing but disco music.
Right. But this ain't disco.
No.
This is heaven. Sorry for bringing that up again, Frank, but it is heaven. Here's one we haven't done for a while.
Yes.
Hallmark movie.
I don't think you can base a Hallmark movie off of this song specifically.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a scene in a Hallmark movie.
I feel like this is between the two main characters.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it has to be as literal as the song is, about them holding hands and laughing in the rain.
Yeah.
And then going under a tree that does not get struck by lightning, because we don't want this to be a sad Hallmark
movie. That's right. I feel like this is a perfect scene out of a Hallmark movie.
Yes.
Or any type of romance movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is better than that scene, Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Your favorite movie line of all time.
Is it raining? I didn't notice. Like, Annie McDowell is a good actress.
Not delivering that line.
No, we got to blame the director for allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
But maybe they could have done Laughter in the Rain. Would have been a better ending. Not for Duckface. But she did end up meeting somebody else. Do you remember Four Weddings and a Funeral?
Her name was Duckface?
They called her Duckface.
Okay.
They were very unkind. She wouldn't want to be married into that friendship.
No, absolutely not.
All right. Well, there we go. We got a Hallmark movie. We didn't really come up with a plot, but I don't think you really need to.
No. It's just say what you see.
Yeah. I think we can put this in every Hallmark movie.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's winter. Then this is freezing rain.
Yeah. Then it's Laughter in the Snow.
Yeah.
That's a different song altogether.
Easier to shiver if it's freezing rain.
It's true.
Okay. All right, next one. Who else could sing this song?
Other than Carole King?
Oh, that's a good one. Did she? She might have even sang it.
She may have. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, who else would you like to hear sing it?
Well, you need someone that has that sort of smooth, unoffensive voice.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Do you have anyone in mind?
I'd be curious if Tracy Chapman could do this and do a complete career turnaround. But I don't know if it's turning around or just turning downhill. But I'd be interested. I feel she has a really good voice.
Yeah.
She can do the really tough voice too, but I feel that she's got talents.
Yeah. I think Linda Ronstadt could do
a good
version of this too.
Yeah, that's a really good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
And my thought of having just female singers do this song also stems from the fact that I thought it was a female singer that sang it.
No, it's got to be a female. You don't want to compare yourself to Neil Sedaka or do an imitation.
Yeah.
I worry Bruno Mars would want to go for it. I'd say, don't do it, Bruno.
Yeah, no.
Okay, next one, Frank. Mixtape. Do you have a mixtape? I want you to go first because I feel you have a rain theme.
Yes, actually, I do.
Okay.
Do you also have a rain theme?
My theme is in the air a bit right now, so I'm going to kind of wait for what you do. Well,
rain starts, is in the air.
Okay, well, with that type of cleverness, you better just go ahead.
So obviously, rain theme, but not just a rain theme, late 60s and 70s rain theme.
Okay, all right, ready.
Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head by BJ Thomas.
Yeah.
Summer Rain, Johnny Rivers. Have You Ever Seen the Rain by CCR.
Very good.
Here's where you stepped on my mixtape with Rainy Days and Mondays by The Carpenters, Rainy Night in Georgia by Brooke Benton.
Yeah.
And I finish it all off with Kentucky Rain by Elvis.
Oh, man. I love all of that. I didn't get to say when you said Summer Rain. Oh, yeah. But it's Oh Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kentucky Rain is incredible.
It's a, what a song. Great song.
Okay. Good. Okay. I got a couple ideas here. I do have an idea for a Rain mixtape.
Yeah.
So I feel like just continuing the Rain thing since you're already there. So I'm just going to add four to it. I'm going to stick with your Rain theme. Okay. So I'm going to move into the 80s and possibly 90s as well.
All right.
I love A Rainy Night, Eddie Rabbit.
Okay. I think I remember that
one. Red Rain, Peter Gabriel.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because everyone's got their different ideas of rain. I was trying to figure out if it's blood or acid rain.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be good, but I'm like, wow, Red Rain just feels really bad.
Sinister. Yeah.
Yeah. I have Rain by Madonna.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Later period Madonna, but still kind of good.
Goodish, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to put in November Rain. I'm not doing it.
I held off on that one as well.
But I can't resist this one.
Blame It on the Rain by Milli Vanilli.
Oh, I got two more.
Oh,
three more. Blame It on the Rain, Milli Vanilli. I Wish It Would Rain Down.
Oh, Phil Collins. Nice.
Now, I want to actually throw the whole thing off because imagine if it was raining and you look outside and you might be a weatherman or weather girl and you look outside and it's not water coming down, but men. So my final song to ruin your mixtape is It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls.
I almost put that on as my swerve at the end.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad I could function as a swerve here.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. We didn't get to talk about this other song that he wrote too much, which is Love Will Keep Us Together by Captain and Tennille.
That's right. Yeah.
And I wanted to save it to the end here because that song hadn't been released as a single yet, but it must have been recorded before Laughter in the Rain or around this time that Laughter in the Rain was being done, and that there was this feeling that Neil Sedaka was on the rise. And so when Love Will Keep Us Together comes out, apparently no one was expecting this, but it was number one for 4 weeks.
Yeah. It's a song that doesn't sound like it should have been a number one.
Yeah. But it's number one in my heart. When I was a kid, I thought that was the greatest thing ever. It was the number one song of 1975. So Neil Sedaka won the Grammy for Record of the Year for that song.
That's right. Yeah.
And at the end of the song, if you listen closely, you'll hear, I believe it's Tennille, say, Sedaka's back.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
You're going to play that, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And so, dear listener, I hope you have enjoyed our trip through Laughter in the Rain. And even if possibly the metaphorical rain of what we're talking about is making you feel a bit cold, maybe causing a shiver to rise up your spine, I hope you're feeling our warm hand in yours.
And you know what, Bill? Our travel through this song has been kind of enlightening for me. I think after discussing the song and appreciating it more for what it is, how I love rainy days and the happy way that I feel inside.
And no matter what is going on in your life right now, dear listener, I hope that we've been able to help you feel just a little happier and that we can share our love of great music under these stormy skies.
You've been listening to Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures.